Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning, Pardon the Grammar. You'll understand why the bad grammar in just a moment. The title of our message is, Can't Get No Satisfaction. Listen again to our reading from 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13. St. Paul wrote, And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. Again, our title is Can't Get No Satisfaction. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline provided for you on the green insert this morning. I wonder how many of you know that Cleveland, Ohio, in the USA, is the home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's because in the 1950s, a radio personality, one who some call a disc jockey, by the name of Alan Freed, was working for a radio station there. And he was the man that coined the phrase rock and roll music to refer to music like singers of Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and even Elvis Presley. Rock and roll, though, now is a common term used to refer to a fast-paced, loud, and rambunctious kind of music. And even though the inductions into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now take place in New York City, the origin of the term rock and roll music began in Cleveland, Ohio. Well, in keeping with that 50-year legacy, a poll was taken of radio disc jockeys and radio listeners all across North America to ask them, what is the number one rock and roll song of all time? And I was quite surprised when I read the results of the poll, because the answer to the question was a song by the British band The Rolling Stones, written in 1965, indeed entitled, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Now, I honestly never thought in my entire ministry I'd be playing any part of that song on Sunday morning, but to help you listen to the lyrics, Richard, Jack, would you play the chorus to this well-known song? That'll do it. Thank you. In Bible class this morning, it was Val Hall that said that is her favorite song. Now, I told you I thought I would never play this song in worship, but there's a reason behind it. It occurred to me that the popularity and longevity of that song can be attributed to at least two different factors. One, the catchy tune and beat, to be sure. But even more than that, that song speaks to a basic dilemma of people in our society. So many people around us, perhaps even you yourselves, are in search for something, for anything that can bring to you that elusive satisfaction. The song's refrain goes like this. You heard it. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, but I can't get no satisfaction. Today's epistle from Thessalonians chapter 3 speaks of real satisfaction, speaks of a satisfaction and a joy and a love that is ours for all eternity. This satisfaction is God's gift to us. This satisfaction is what God gives to us now and will bring to completion on that last day when our Advent Lord Jesus comes back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and brings His people to heaven forever. This satisfaction that God gives is the theme of our very Advent season. Advent is a season of joy and God's satisfaction. Listen again to the text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Listen carefully. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. But now, let's go back to that song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. You can almost see the history of the last 45 years of life in North America tracked by that 1965 song. Its lyrics can almost be a spokesman for our day and our age. I've tried unbounded sex and drugs, and I can't get no satisfaction. I've tried alcohol and the party scene, and I can't get no satisfaction. I've tried to work hard, play hard, fill my calendar with a never-ending list of unending duties, and I can't get no satisfaction. I have tried it all, says our world today. I have tried it all, and the end result is this. I can't get no satisfaction. When you'd all boil it down, the search for satisfaction seems to take three paths. They're on your outline this morning. These paths are called happiness, thrills, and pleasure. It's interesting that all these things are referred to in one way or the other through St. Paul's words in Galatians chapter 5. There he calls them, and I quote, the works of the flesh, the acts of the sinful nature. Paul refers to these by such names as these: sexual immorality, debauchery, idolatry, and drunkenness. Now, we may call them by any number of names, but their motivation and their desired outcome is all the same. We are trying to create satisfaction for ourselves. Some people, point one, are obsessed with happiness. They want to find that time and that place in their life where there will always be a smile on their face and never a tear in their eye. Well, the reality is they want to live in Disneyland all the time. But the truth is, Disneyland is simply a great illusion and a temporary escape at best. Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. That is, our life is not one big happy, happy, happy. Now, deep down in our hearts, we know that. But we still behave like the lyrics to the Rolling Stones song. And I tried. And I tried, and I tried, and I can't find no lasting happiness. Why? Because worldly happiness does not and cannot last. That's the reality of living in a sinful and a fallen world. Sometimes, after we discover that happiness doesn't last, we go on to the next thing. And the next thing may be thrills and excitement. One wonders if we today have an obsession with thrills. We buy cars that travel faster than any highway would let us safely drive them on. We jump out of airplanes and fall thousands of feet free fall before engaging the parachute. We bungee jump from heights hundreds of meters from the ground. We look for the biggest and the best and the fastest roller coaster ride. We crave that adrenaline rush of living dangerously. You've probably heard of a man who's considered one of the world's richest men recently, who spent millions of dollars to purchase for himself a seat on the space shuttle. He did that not so much because he cared about space research, but because he wanted to buy for himself the world's biggest thrill. For others, the thrill is linked to the allure and excitement of gambling. Whatever the thrill of gambling might be, we can never forget the untold sorrow that it causes. As some people spend the last of their rent money, their mortgage money, their food money, for the temporary thrill of the roll of the dice or the pull of the slot machine lever. Gambling is never a rational decision. It's a mark of a society that has embraced the thrill of trying to find that all elusive satisfaction. However, people discover that just like happiness, thrills don't last. The devilish thing about thrills, and I believe it is devilish in the full sense of the term, the devilish thing about thrills is this: thrills must get bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives, or they cease becoming thrills. Blues singer B.B. King is world famous for one of the lyrics from his song. And his song goes like this: the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. For some, the quest for satisfaction leads finally to pleasure. And regarding the search for pleasure in North America this morning, I want to talk about just one thing: sex. I'm talking about the fact that pornography in North America, in the shapes of videos, websites, and magazines, brings in more money from North Americans than we spend combined on any entertainment and athletic event. I'm talking about our national fascination and preoccupation with cheap and fleeting sexual encounters. I'm talking about TV commercial after TV commercial after commercial that uses sex to sell their product, even when their product has nothing to do with sex. And then there are those ever-increasing commercials, some of them are actually pretty funny, about products for sexual enhancement. For some people, life is all about pleasure. Now, don't get me wrong. Sex is a wonderful gift of God when it's used in the context God is meant it to be used in marriage. But society's never-ending quest for elusive sexual pleasure results in these kinds of things in North America: thousands of teenage pregnancies, hundreds of thousands of people with sexually transmitted diseases, the staggering use of abortion as a means for birth control, and numerous marriages destroyed by adulterous affairs. This, too, is a part of the Rolling Stones song from 1965 when they sang, "And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I still can't get no satisfaction." There's a reason. There's a reason such worldly and fleeting things like happiness, thrills, and pleasure don't bring us real satisfaction. It's because all of these things are behaviors and experiences that we must bring forth into our lives from the sinful world around us. And when the world around us shifts or changes, and when people or circumstances shift or come and go in our lives, we realize again that satisfaction, once again, has passed us by. What St. Paul has called the works of the flesh, or the acts of the sinful nature, will forever be unsatisfying. There's another reason they don't satisfy us. It's because pouring these things into our lives is like pouring water into a metal strainer. Let me show you. Pouring all these things from the world around us trying to fill up our lives is like pouring water into a metal sieve. What do we mean? No matter how much you pour into this metal strainer, it all runs out. It cannot fill up. Why? Because of the holes in it. The holes are never filled up, no matter how much you pour in. No matter how much of the works of the flesh, no matter how much worldly happiness, thrills, and pleasure we pour into our lives are not filled. Why? Because we have a hole. We have a hole in our souls. And we can't get no satisfaction. Saint Augustine once said, "The soul is restless, O Lord, until it finds its rest in Thee." A paraphrase of that would be this: there is a God-shaped hole. There is a God-shaped hole in the heart of every human being. And try as we might to fill it up with what the world has to offer, it's like pouring water through a metal strainer. But thanks be to God, this is not the case with the gifts that He gives us. His gifts really satisfy. His gifts fill the hole and the heart and soul of every living person. You see, God has made us to be in a living and loving relationship with Him. Without Him, we are incomplete. There's a hole in our soul. But it's His pleasure to give us. It is God's pleasure to give us what we need, that we can truly be satisfied. How would you like some early Christmas presents? Listen to this list of God's gifts that He gives to us that really satisfy. The gift of His never-ending love for you. Yes, you. The gift of God's never-ending love for you, no matter what life throws your way, His love for you will never change. How about that for a gift? The absolute assurance. Are you with me? The absolute assurance of the forgiveness of all of your sins because of Jesus' sacrifice for you on the cross of Calvary. The promise given at our baptism. At your baptism, that He is your Father and He will never leave you nor forsake you. The promise that you, yes, you, are the temple of His Holy Spirit. And He lives within you to guide and to direct you. The reality that this short life is not all that there is. Did you catch that? God's gift is the reality that this short life is not all that there is. But that He has prepared a place for you, yes, you, to be with Him forever in heaven. The gifts of His holy word and His holy sacraments to strengthen and nurture us in the holy faith. The gift of one another. The gift of your brothers and sisters in Christ who will stand with you and stand for you in this ever-changing world. And what's the end result of these kinds of gifts? The Bible says the end results of these gifts is the joy of the Lord. And especially in this season of Advent, let me tell you today, I would rather have the joy of the Lord than all the so-called satisfactions this sinful world has to offer. In Advent, we celebrate the season of joy, the season of hope, the season where God has promised to truly satisfy us with the coming of Jesus, our Savior, and His precious gifts. This is why we sing such a powerful Advent song like this: "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." My friends, to conclude, God does give us what we really need. God does satisfy us in the truest sense. That doesn't mean you're going to have all the things the world says you ought to have. That doesn't mean you're going to have all the happiness, thrills, and pleasure that are dangled before you in this life. It does mean, I say to you, it does mean in Jesus' name, God will truly give you all that you really need. And so we can sing with all confidence that beautiful hymn that goes like this: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Can't get no satisfaction? No, not from this world and what it has to offer. But as the Holy Scripture says, the joy of the Lord is your true strength. And to quote finally an old gospel song, it goes like this: "This joy I have, the world didn't give to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. In the name of Jesus, who is your true satisfaction. Amen."